Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah.
Years ago, I read this pink book by Sarah Brunbronic. It was called Simple Abundance, and it really changed my life. You know how people use the word change my life all the time? It literally did, because in the book Simple Abundance, Sarah Brunbronic asks us to start a gratitude journal. I did that. A gratitude journal where you say 5 things every day that you are thankful for. You actually write those things down. Doing that really made all the difference in the world in my life. And I passed that message of Sarah Brunbronic's on to my audience. I've given out gratitude journals. I encourage other people to use gratitude journals. And really happy today to be able to talk to Sarah Brunbronic almost 10 years later since she first introduced her book, Simple Abundance, and the idea that gratitude changes our lives.
It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
Sarah Brunbronic, author of Simple Abundance. Sarah's the woman who turned me on to gratitude, literally turned me on and turned up the volume of my life is what happened when I first read Simple Abundance and her idea to start a gratitude journal. Because I've kept a journal since I was 15 years old. I have all my journals. And it's just hysterical to go back and look at how pathetic I was, really.
Unknowing, maybe.
Yes, unknowing and pitiful. It's pitiful. The things I was writing about, oh, so sad, so sad, so pitiful. And in some years, no growth at all. You can look at them and say, well, didn't learn a thing that year. But so my point is, I've kept journals all these years, but it wasn't until I read Simple Abundance. And that was 10 years ago, because the 10th anniversary edition is out now. And the perfect gift to give any woman you know, regardless of the occasion. This is a perfect time because they are daily, I don't know, I call them life lessons or daily...
Reflections.
Daily reflections.
Heart reflections.
Heart reflections.
Yes, I think.
That no matter who you are or where you are in life, they will resonate with you, with whatever's going on in your life. It's transformative, gratitude is. When people say, what can I do if I wanted to? The single greatest thing you can do to change your life today would be to start being grateful for what you have right now.
And writing it down.
And writing it down. And why is writing it down so much more powerful than just thinking it or feeling it?
Because it makes it real.
Mm.
It makes it real, and it's a record. It is a testimony. Because I've had nights when I've been so tired and the head hits a pillow and I think, oh, I'm grateful for this and this. And the next morning I forget.
Fall asleep.
Yeah. But I can go through the day and have something wonderful have happened at 10 o'clock and be totally forgetful of it by noon.
Right.
Because other stuff has gotten in the way.
Right.
So that's why I like to think at the end of the day, you know, what 5 things happened that put a smile on my face, brought relief, brought comfort, you know. But some days are hard, and you think, I don't have 5 things. Yes, well, the day is over. You're in bed. You're going to sleep. Tomorrow is a new day. That's 3 out of the 5. You know, the bed feels great. There's 4. You know, maybe you have a pet nearby that you can stroke or you can hear, you know, her breathing. You know, too. Or a loved one. You know, I mean, that's 5.
They're endless.
They're endless.
They're endless if you start paying attention. That's what I was saying also on our previous show, that what, if you know you have 5 to write down, it forces you to pay attention to your life in a different way. I mean, I remember, I think I shared this with you years ago when you were on the show, that I started just then paying attention. I noticed squirrels in the trees. I'd say, because that might be all I'm going to have for later today. I saw a squirrel putting away some nuts for the winter. Let me take note of that. Or I'm walking out of the door. I was going into a restaurant, and the man stopped to hold the door for me. I paid attention to that because I thought, might need that for number 4 or 5 later today. That might be all I get. somebody held the door for me. So it just makes you notice people and your life and your life differently. So what happened when you first obviously recognized that this book was going to take off and become not just a bestseller, but a really phenomenon for women?
I didn't know that. No, see, you don't know the whole story. You noticed, you came in on the story when you noticed the pink books all around.
Yes.
But to get to that point, when Simple Abundance was going to be published in November of 95, my publisher, Warner, then called Warner, said, well, this is a woman's book. And I said, okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah. And that means, that's a euphemism in publishing, which means no publicity.
Wow.
No paid publicity, okay?
Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, this is a book that took me 4 years to write, that went through 30 rejections, and it is going to disappear through the cracks now? So I was on my knees, and I was saying prayer. And always during the writing of Simple Abundance, I had had, this has been God's and my work.
Yes.
My work was to get the words on the paper, and I was leaving the delivery details to God.
Uh-huh.
All right? So I'm now on my knees, or maybe I'm pacing the room, and I'm saying, you're not handling your end of the bargain.
You're
here.
Saying this,
you
know, to...
Well,
to your higher power.
To my higher power.
Okay.
to my great partner. I'm saying this, you know, what is going to happen here? What is going to happen? And this can't fall through. And when I got quiet, the same voice that had told me to sit down at that table said, send 30 books to the Oprah Winfrey Show.
You never told me this.
I never told you. Well, this is the right moment.
You never told me. My little eyes are watering right now. You never told me this.
No.
Because I believe in that voice, honey. I believe. So the same voice that had said to you, sit down and write 100 reasons why you're grateful to be alive.
Right. Said, send 30 books to the Oprah Winfrey Show.
This is in 1995.
Yes. Yeah. So that every woman on her production, you know, has a book of Simple Abundance. So I went to Warner Publicity and I said, I have an idea. Let's send 30 books. And they said, no, this is not how we publicize books. And they said, we send a book to a producer, and if they're interested, they'll get back to you. Well, I said, I kept the squeaky wheel, you know, every time, or my agent, every time we could get in, it would be, send books, send books. I finally said, please send 30 books to the Oprah Winfrey Show. I will pay for them. But please let it come from you so I just don't look like this needy author.
Yeah, like you're a crazy person.
Right, So they did finally to shut me up. And the first week in December, they came back and they said, they'd heard from the producer and they said, this is a lovely book and thank you so much. You know, everybody's loving it. But it's not a show. It's not a show. And, you know, to buck myself up, I said, you know, someday Oprah will pick up the book and she'll read something in it, and when she does, it'll be a show.
Oh, my God, that is unbelievable. Why are you just now telling me this story? This is, the right time to obviously hear it. Because that gives me goosebumps, because that is exactly what happened. It's because there were so many of them. I wouldn't have noticed it if it were just a book. One, you know, because people send us books all the time. Yeah. Everybody gets a book. And the chances of, you know, one producer saying to another and get this book to Oprah, nobody does that because I have too much going. Nobody gives me books. So I happen to be walking through, you know, people's cubicles and I noticed it on everybody's desk. That's how I noticed it. I go, what is with this pink book? What is this pink book? Everybody seems to have this pink book. I don't have one. Would somebody get me one of these pink books? And you're right. I picked it up and I started reading it. I took it home. I remember the night I took it home. In my bag, people be surprised. I think I had a brown shopping bag and I put it in with all my other papers and everything. And as I, you know, was, you know, in bed that night, I started to read the book. So I'm talking with Sarah Bronick, author of my favorite pink book. And after that, you know, I said, we have to do a show. We have to do a show about it. And that's how you're here.
That's how I'm here. I remember that March 21st, 1996. That was the show. But we have to go back, if we can, just for a minute, since we're mm-hmm. doing the memories. Because after I was on the show with you for the first time, I wrote you a thank you note.
Yes.
And I enclosed copies of letters from women that had been mm-hmm, writing me. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I was so grateful that now, because of you, other women would hear about Simple Abundance. And you remember, you read those letters and invited some of those women to come back. And I was invited the second time within a couple of weeks back on. And
oh, because when I like something, I want to tell everybody.
And the thank you.
Yes.
It was the thank yous from the women. And that was what was so
and what
powerful.
Was so rare, and I told you this at the time, what was so rare and still is, people would be surprised at the number of people. And I think at the time that you sent me a thank you in 1995, that was one of the few times I'd ever gotten a thank you. I mean, I could name the people. I could literally name the people, which I won't, so I'll embarrass all the others who haven't, who've sent me thank yous for, you know, helping them sell books or sell products or sell anything. Nobody ever says thank you. So the fact that you, having, you know, turned me on to gratitude, were then grateful that I was turned on to gratitude, and it just, you know, the circle just kept getting wider and wider. But anyway, I wanted as many people to experience, just as doing this radio show now today, as many people to experience the transformative power of gratitude as I had. Because I am a person who is obviously a spiritual seeker and have tried to live my life in such an open and connected way to the source, that when this idea of gratitude came into my life, it was one of the greatest aha moments, one of the greatest light bulbs. Like, you want to be connected to the source? You want to know God? You want to get closer? You want to feel what it's like to live in the space of God's heart? Is be grateful. Be grateful for whatever you have at any given time. And the more grateful you are, the more you get. And so that has allowed me to grow in grace that gratitude has.
Yes, gratitude is grace. First, the gesture of saying thanks, then the grace. You can't have one without the other.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So what was the biggest challenge for you after you were so abundantly rewarded for Simple Abundance? You write a little about that in Moving On. Mm. Yes. Mm.
Well, there were a lot of challenges that I didn't expect. One of them was being pulled in so many different directions because so many people would now ask me to help them, to help their cause or whatever. Oh. And, you know, I didn't know.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
The second thing that was a surprise was that people had an image of what the woman who wrote Simple Abundance should look like, should behave. Her life should be.
Yeah.
And I wasn't it for a lot of people. I remember at a book signing, and I was wearing my Manolos and had red nail polish on at the time and red lipstick. And this woman came up and she said, "I'm looking for Sarah Van Breathnach." I said, "Yeah, here." And she said, "You're not my Sarah.
You're not my Sarah.
You're not my Sarah. My Sarah doesn't wear nail polish or, you know, high heels."
Because they expected you to have on a Puritan skirt and some Crocs.
Birkenstocks.
Yeah, Birkenstocks, yeah.
And Laura
I meant
Ashley.
Crocs, like those new crocodile plastic rubber shoes the children wear.
Yes, right. That's what they expected. So that was a challenge. So then I found myself sort of altering who I was so that I could be non-controversial.
Wow.
Well, you know.
You can't.
You can't do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without all, because what is the quote you say about authenticity and gratitude? Or, yeah, I can't remember the quote right now, but you cannot be your authentic self and know true spirituality. So you cannot not be authentic and not be a spiritual person. Yeah.
You might try it, but it's like a little girl trying on, you know, her mother's shoes or a hat. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work. So I found myself, and you know this, this is true, and nobody really ever says this about celebrity, but the larger your circle of fame or influence goes out into the outer world, your circle of intimates shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can be the most famous woman in the world, Oprah, and nobody expects that you can have lonely moments.
Mm-hmm.
And even they're surprised and shocked, and they don't want to know that.
Right.
So they didn't want to think that you know, Sarah Van Breathnach.
Because that's how your name is spelled. It looks like Breathnach.
And I answer to it. Yes,
yeah, do you?
They didn't want to think that her life wasn't, at times, absolutely perfect.
Well, the quote I was looking for is, the authentic self is the soul made visible. That's one of your quotes. The authentic self is the soul made visible. And so if you're not being your authentic self, then there's no way you are connected to, you know, your soul's energy. You know, my favorite quote from Gary Zukav is that when the personality comes to serve the energy of the soul, that is authentic power. When you allow your personality to serve the energy of your soul and not the other way around. And so, you know what it's like? It's what I'm hearing is, it's kind of like, I'm talking to Sarah Van Breathnach about what happened after the phenomenal success of Simple Abundance. You went on to write other books. I remember having you back on the show to talk about Something More.
Oh, that was a tremendous.
Wasn't that amazing?
Amazing.
That had to be amazing for you, because I started to notice on my show, this is before I started doing after shows that were actually filmed that you all could see, I started to notice a trend in the audience. And what I started to notice was, there was a trend. Women would stand up and say the very thing that you had written about in Something More. They would stand up, you know, these, you know, 28 and 32 and 35-year-old women and 47 and 54-year-old women saying, I want something more. I've done everything I was told to do. I played the game. I did it well. I feel that I was successful with my children. But is basically that song, is this all there is? Mm. I want something more. And then you went and wrote a book about it and sort of really put your finger on that something that was missing from women. And what was it, do you think?
Self-esteem. You know, Something More was a very interesting book.
Because women had lost themselves in giving to everybody else.
Unless we complete the cycle and let the care come back, the spiritual electricity, it doesn't connect. There's a disconnect.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Because you needed a way to sort of to complete the circle.
And let people give back to you.
Give back to you.
You.
Mm-hmm.
But Something More was really interesting because after Simple Abundance, which was universally loved,
mm-hmm.
the reaction to Something More was polarizing.
Was it?
Yeah. And all of these things I've never talked to anybody about before.
No, really?
Yeah.
So why was it polarizing?
Because women either loved, depending on where they were on their own journey, they either loved it because it was affirming where they were, or I could tell when they closed the book and wrote their little nasty comments on Amazon or wherever, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I could tell you exactly where they were in their life from where they closed the book.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what kinds of things were they saying?
They were saying, you know, you're saying every woman who's unhappy in marriage should just go out and get a divorce, and that you're not seeing the sacredness of the union and everything. Oh, I mean, you know.
Yes.
But I wasn't saying that at all.
Yeah.
I was telling stories about, you know, like the different stages that our lives go through.
Mm-hmm.
And Something More was a kind of book that, you know, somebody would have it on the bookshelf. Well, some of the most interesting letters were from women who said, I slammed that book shut, didn't want to hear it, and now, 8 years later, you know, I picked it up and here I am on the page with you. You know, there.
What did that first divorce teach you?
Oh. Again, I was so ashamed when I got divorced from Kate's dad,
mm-hmm.
because how could the woman who wrote Simple Abundance...
Get a divorce. Yes.
But you...
Because aren't you supposed to be Harriet of Ozzy and Harriet now? Aren't you supposed to live happily ever after and just... Yes.
Yeah. There's not... Yeah. Well, you know, I was supposed to, the second book that was supposed to come after Simple Abundance was supposed to be on authentic success.
Mm-hmm.
And after, you know, my marriage, it was 18 years and sort of, it seems like it crumbled down around my feet. But in Something More, I talk about the three wounds of a woman's soul. Self-loathing,
mm-hmm.
betrayal, mm-hmm. in that nobody can betray us. We only betray ourselves. And indifference in marriage and relationship. Indifference is the holocaust of the heart, and how we will live in indifferent relationships because we're good people, and good people don't get divorced. If we're, you know, if it's
right.
good enough, you know, to weather all of the crises and...
Well, that's such a powerful thing that you're saying, because I remember a conversation with Elie Wiesel, who says that it wasn't hatred that caused the Holocaust. It was indifference. Yeah. It's the indifference to people doing nothing. It's good people doing nothing mm-hmm. that allowed that to happen year after year after year, and 6 million dead. Yeah.
And it's good people every day allowing indifference to continue in their relationships, in their family. It's not rocking the boat. It's not wanting to change. It's not realizing that the only thing in life is change.
Mm-hmm. You say in Moving On, the change is divine.
Yes, what we call chaos, heaven calls change.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have to change. I mean.
So were you ever able to look at your divorce as a divine experience?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
How long did it take you to get there?
Oh. Mm. I knew it intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
About a year later, I did not understand it in my heart, and give thanks for it for about 5 years.
Mm. Yeah.
And now, I mean, Kate's father is a wonderful father. They have a lovely relationship. He's a good man, you know. I wish only the best for him. And, yeah, it was good. It was good to come out on the other side, too.
Took you some time to get there.
Yes.
You suggest that a woman's home is one of the best barometers of her spiritual well-being. Was there a time not that long ago you had a whole lot of clutter in your home?
God, I still do. I mean, clutter is a growing thing. Oh, yeah. But a woman's, yes, how a woman tends her home is, or exists, coexists in her home, is a barometer, a compass that says how she feels about herself.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the thing that I learned in Moving On about clutter is most organizational books will tell you that clutter is the enemy to be vanquished.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that clutter was my codependent friend. Clutter wanted to enable me to stay in situations mm-hmm. in the house that I was just too tired at the end of the day to deal with, you know. Clutter takes on the particular nuances of the room, you know, your desk with all the stacks that you can't go through, or that kitchen counter where a woman can't find the phone or a car keys, or, you know, the cold sore medicine is behind the cereal boxes, papers all over. You know, that's a woman who does not want to hear the phone to ring, because she does not want to make another commitment. So clutter's trying to help her, you know. So when you realize that clutter in a woman's bedroom, that chair that has, you know, 15 different outfits on it, you know, some worn when you're trying to get ready, but they don't feel good. You know, I've got fat clothes, skinny clothes, you know, business clothes.
And elastic. Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, when you're going and you're looking, you know, in the bedroom, and or the bedroom's lost its dimension of the bedroom, you have the sewing machine in, it becomes multi-purpose room, you know, the television, the exercise machine. It has everything but a place for you.
Yeah, it is speaking to where you are right now in your life. Mm-hmm. It's not about the 15 outfits on the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about absolutely. Where you are in your life right now. I think it's about, what, page 132 in Moving On, you write that you believe that regret is the only a wound from which our souls does not recover.
Never.
And so you want to live without regret.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Regret is the only wound. Why is that?
Because you have to either come back in this life, re-embody yourself, you know, or you go out of this life and you tear the scars off, you know, a wound. But if you don't let it, if you don't heal it, if you don't, you know, tend it, if you don't, regret gnaws at you. You know, our hopes begin to resemble our regrets. Our regrets begin to resemble our hopes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a gnawing. There's a gnawing that goes on with regret. And we can't go back. I can't go back and change the choices that I made. You know, there are conscious choices and there are coma choices, unconscious mm-hmm. ones, you know. We don't realize that choice is a spiritual gift. Oh, God. That's like the power of thank you.
Yes.
If we could only realize that the choices we're given, you know, the divine is saying, you know, help me create. Choose
yes.
with
yes.
this choice.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
But we don't. You can't change that. But if you wake up in the morning and say, I can't hoard love. I can't, I don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow. You know, can you make that telephone call? Can you write that note? Can you have that conversation, look into that friend's eye? You know, can you accept, make peace with your hair? Can you do whatever is, you know, calling to you at the moment and get on with the real challenge, the real choice of living when you don't want to live with any more regrets? I think we carry them into our next life, wherever that is.
So the deal is to live without regret.
To try.
Anyway. To try very much to live without
anyway.
Regret.
Yeah.
Well, just a joy to talk to you. I learned so much today. I had so many ahas. I was aha-ing every minute here. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Sarah, really.
Oh, Oprah,
this is like
you.
Our own reunion.
It is. It
yes.
is. Thanks.
I do. I know, recognized in the book, I think you call me the godmother, or you thank me for being the fairy godmother to simple abundance. I thank you for being the woman who turned me on to gratitude.
Oh, that's powerful.
Because it really was transformative. It's really helped me become more of the woman I was meant to be. So thank you.
Thank
you for being a part of that journey.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.